Welcome to the Invincible Ultimate Collection.
Yo, what's up, guys and gals? Welcome to the TVR show. Last episode, we stopped with Debbie not impressed with Omni-Man or Invincible story. So, let's continue. Mark receives a phone call from Nolan, and it's quite ominous. It's got a lot of foreshadowing. But listen, I got an important mission for you. He basically says there's a foe coming to Earth that he had to fight before, and he thinks that Mark is going to be capable of defending the planet from him. You just got to make sure that homie don't enter the atmosphere. That seems easy enough, right? Mark's actually pretty nervous about this. He brings up the fact that, Dad, I can't hold my breath that long to be in space, keeping somebody out of orbit. Nolan tells him, listen, I can hold my breath for about 2 weeks. You should be able to hold yours for about an hour. So let's do a quick breakdown. Right away, we're going to get it. Let's get this chart going. If Mark can hold his breath for 1 hour, and Omni-Man can hold his for 2 weeks, that means Omni-Man can hold his breath for 336 hours. Which means Omni-Man's lung capacity is 336 times more than Mark's. Does that mean that his power in general is 336 times more? Is he that much more powerful than Mark? Who the hell knows? But look at this goddamn graph. That's an incredible difference in power. Lung power. Anyways, just like in the show, Mark goes into space, looking around, yo, what's going on? Bam! Gets fucking clocked by Alan the alien. They share a couple words back and forth. It's a shock that it's telepathic. But in the comic, Invincible actually asks him, is it common for you to speak English? And Alan gives him this answer like he should know, like, yeah, it's obvious, isn't it? So apparently in the Invincible universe, a lot of mofos speak English. So they keep going back and forth. They're fighting. Invincible isn't sure what the hell's going on. In the comic, Alan's like, oh, you know, you're talking a lot more than the other guy. Referring to Mark's father when he fought him the last two times. And then he goes on to say, like, oh, the fact that you're talking means that you're not focusing as much. This should be good. But in the end, just like in the show, Alan doesn't see Invincible as much of a threat. He's not putting up as much of a fight as he expected. And this is the first time we see this in the comic, because so far in the comic, Invincible's been a goddamn badass the entire time. The exchange continues. Eventually, they end up on the moon. Invincible uses his one timeout, and they start talking about Alan's reason for being there. And the big difference that you'll see from the show, and it's not that big, but in the show, he says he's an evaluation officer. In the comic, he's a champion evaluation officer. So the difference is he evaluates champions of each planet that are supposed to protect their world. It's a pretty small detail, but I thought I'd share it with you guys.
All right, I'm an evaluation officer for the Coalition of Planets.
Another interesting thing that I noticed in the show, when Alan picks up a rock for him and Invincible to sit on, I noticed, well, to me, I think it was a portrayal of their difference in power levels. Alan had a big-ass rock, and he gave Invincible a little rock, right, to sit on. So he's lower than him, right, in his stature, etc., whatever. So in Episode 8, this isn't going to spoil anything, but Episode 8, when Invincible talks to Alan again, they sit on two rocks that are the exact same size. And I think this is a portrayal of them being similar power level now. They're equals. I could be wrong, but that's just something I noticed in the show. Alan, I can't get it out of my head hearing Seth Rogen speaking for Alan, even when I'm reading the comic now. Alan is an idiot. He thought that he was visiting Urath the entire time. So after the fight, we get to see Mark and Nolan playing catch in the sky, just like in Episode 1. So the events are, you know, slightly different in time here compared to the show and the comic. And they're not discussing what they were discussing in the show. In the comic, Nolan is telling Mark that the Flaxons were able to create a device that dampened his power. And that's how they were able to capture him. So that, like, weird fucking old CD player looking thing that I was talking about in part one. Was that part one or part two? I don't know. That dampened his power, and that's how they were able to pull him into that portal and keep him captive for that long. Is Nolan lying about this? And the actual events are what we saw on the TV show of him just committing genocide and killing them all? Who knows? But reading the comics, we're gonna just take his word for it. Because we don't see a reason for him to be lying yet, right? He didn't do anything for us to think he's a liar. Yet. Omni-Man also brings up a good point. He says, Mark, when they pulled me in, you called me Dad. And Mark's like, oh, did I? He says, yeah. Yeah, you did. And you have to be more careful. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of villains that don't like me. And they could use you to get to me if they find out that you're my son. So this shows that Nolan is confident in Mark's abilities in fights. But there are other villains out there that could potentially kick Mark's fucking ass. And that's good to see. I don't want to see that they're too overpowered, you know what I mean? So things get cut short. Because Mark and William, just like in the show, are going to go to Upstate University and go check out a new college. So they rush in, get ready. So another big difference is we still haven't seen Amber. Show, Amber's going with them. William, Amber, and Mark go to the university. Here, it's just Mark and William. So still no Amber to be seen. So Mark gets in the car with William. They dip, and not a second later, Nolan and Debbie are fucking horny as hell. They run their asses up to bed, and they're ready to go to Pound Town. Now, while all this is going on, the teen team has some things of their own that are different. Robot tells the rest of the team that the Guardians of the Globe have invited him to join. And they're like super excited for him, but he breaks down some news to them like, yo, listen, I can't be on two teams at once. I won't be as efficient. You know, that's some robot shit right there. Won't be as efficient. So I'm going to have to dip, guys. You know, I'm sorry. That aspect didn't come into play in the show. At least we didn't see it. If it was happening behind the scenes, what we saw was he was approached later on to start his own Guardians of the Globe. You know, once there were no members left, if you know what I'm saying. So we get about two pages. We see Black Samson, and he's basically talking about how he lost his powers, but not exactly how, just that it happened, and he really wants to get back into the game. He's pissed that he's not in the Guardians of the Globe since he lost his powers, and he's waiting for the tailor to build a suit for him so he can get back in there. And a big thing, too, they didn't mention in the show, but this motherfucker is rich as hell. He got his own goddamn butler and shit. He's like, what the fuck's this guy's name? Hold on. Sanford. Sanford's answering the phone, delivering shit, man. So yeah, Black Samson is rich as hell. So we get back to Mark and William. They're at the college. A big difference in the show and the comic. William, in the show, was outwardly gay. He expressed his interest. He liked Omni-Man.
Sure, he's hot and all. And that mustache.
He didn't know that that was Mark's father at the time. But in the show, when he got to the campus, he was there to meet a love interest of his. He's like staring at the dude's butt, all kinds of shit, right? In the comic, he's checking out chicks. And he's saying how hot the girls are there. So it's hard to say if he's gay in the comics or if he just hasn't come out yet to Mark. Only time will tell. And that's not all with William. They end up getting shown the entire school by a guy named, I believe, David. And for some reason, they put this fact in the comic, and it's actually kind of funny. I mean, it gives his character more depth. But William only likes to be called his entire name William. He doesn't like Will. He doesn't like Bill. He doesn't like anything short, right? And their guide is like, yo, can I call you Bill? And William's ready to throw fucking hands. I mean, Mark has to grab him. Dude's got his fist balled up, and we see this a couple times. William's ready to fight everybody. Thank goodness this dude don't got powers. He'd be fucking whooping everybody. Meanwhile, back at home, Nolan and Debbie, they just got back from Pound Town. They're in the living room. She's leaning up on Nolan, and Nolan's like, "So what do you say?" And what do you fucking guess? These motherfuckers go back to Pound Town. Nolan's breaking the fucking light barrier. Bam! Up in the bedroom. Bam! He's back down because she's taking too long to get up the stairs. Bam! Brings her ass back up. And they're just fucking... I mean, it's like a fucking 10 on the Richter scale. These guys are absolute horn dogs. And this shit is fucking hilarious. Because in the show, they allude to this a couple times. They show it, right?
Don't make me get the spray bottle.
Now, let's get you out of that costume.
Boundaries, people.
But in the comic, it just seems like, man, these guys ain't fucking around. They're trying to get Mark a little brother or sister real quick. Back at the college, just like in the show, the Reanimen dude show up. Or like the cyborg dude, right? The Reanimen bust out. Mark and William are sitting like on a bench. Dude smashes out. Mark does the same thing he did in the show. "I'll be right back," or something like that. I had to go for help. Whatever the fuck he does. The Reanimen dude, he's not even trying to fuck shit up like in the show. In the show, the dude was like kind of going out of his way, beating people up, doing whatever, right? In the comic, dude is beelining it. Security guy gets in his way, bitch smacks him. Invincible shows up. You know, Mark's got his costume on. Bitch smacks him. Mark doesn't get a single punch in. Dude beelines it to, like, the school's main statue thing and just fucking yeets himself onto the fucking spike. Goes right through his damn chest. Kills himself. Dead. No battle. Nothing. Just like in the show, William's like, "Oh, shit. Mark, you didn't tell me you had powers?" And Mark's like, "Fuck!" They get back from college. William drops Mark off. Wouldn't you know, from outside on the street, that motherfucking house is just, it's breaking off of the foundation. He opens the door. They are fucking, Nolan and Debbie are sweating. Debbie's shirt's on backwards, tag sticking out the front. It smells like goddamn Viltrumite sex in that fucking house. Mark's like, "Are you kidding me?" These guys are goddamn horn dogs, man. I love it. Meanwhile, the tailor calls Nolan and says somebody broke in. And this is a big deal because the tailor makes suits for all kinds of heroes. And what was stolen? It was Black Samson's suit. So they kind of start hinting at, you know, Black Samson might be off his rocker and broke in there, you know, to get back in the Guardians of the Globe. In the show, Black Samson wasn't really a thing until the tryouts, right? Where they start testing people for the new team. So we're seeing a little more of his backstory. We also see a small snip of Adam Eve, middle of the night. She goes to Teen Team's base. It's dark. And she sees something that she's very upset about. I'm thinking it is Rexplode and Duplicate just, going to Pound Town. But who knows? It might not be. But they don't really show. It's just a very quick little clip. Finally, we're introduced to the Guardians of the Globe. You guys remember in the show, episode 1, we see him immediately. We are already past the Viltrumite invasion and everything, and we're just going to see them now. Darkwing is fighting the same perps as in the show. Basically, exact same situation. The only difference I see with Darkwing is, in the show, Darkwing was a black guy, and in the comics, Darkwing is a white guy. Red Rush, we see a very similar situation. Mid-sentence with his woman, he ends up running and, you know, saving some people from a villain and saving a cat out of a tree. Not much different with him, except his suit. His suit is dog shit. It's like a leather jacket. I don't know. I definitely don't like his suit in here. The show's version was a lot better.
Oh, no. It starts with one of you, then...
War Woman has a little bit different of a situation going on. She's waking up in bed. It looks like she's at her girlfriend's house. And we see this guy that looks almost like Darkseid, but like a Spartan-type version. He's huge. He fucking explodes into their apartment, saying that, I'm gonna bring you back to our realm. This basically is telling us that War Woman isn't even from this realm. I'm thinking realm meaning another dimension, something like that. The guy is clearly upset that she's hanging out with mere mortals. Does this mean that War Woman is an immortal? Is she supposed to be some kind of god? You know, she's like Wonder Woman in my eyes. Anyways, she whoops the dude's ass. And by the way, the entire time they're each getting summoned to the Guardian of the Globe headquarters. So War Woman's perspective was definitely different than in the show. They showed a little bit more about her, right? Not much, but a little bit. And also, I think her costume was a lot cooler in the comic. So we see the Martian and Green Ghost in space. They're fighting like some kind of fucking metal grub thing. It's whooping their asses. And Martian Man's like, yo, Green Ghost, go intangible. And Green Ghost is like, oh, I forgot I could do that. And he goes inside and he starts messing this thing, circuits up, and then BAM! It explodes. And they whoop this thing's ass. And then Green Ghost kind of apologizes. And we find out that Green Ghost has only been using this power of that amulet for about a month. And Martian gave it to him. Also, big difference here between these two. Martian takes on a human form, and it looks like an ugly-ass transformation when he does it. And Green Ghost is now a man instead of a woman in the comic. So the Guardians of the Globe all go to the headquarters. Show, comic, same thing.
Darkwing, why did you call us here?
Me?
The only difference is, instead of Nightwing being the last one there like he was in the show, it is Immortal in the comic that gets there last. And by the way, they all look good in the comic, right? But Red Rush's damn suit. Look at this thing. Look at his suit. I mean, they didn't put any time into this guy. And I love the artist style, right? But man, they didn't put no time into Red Rush's suit. Look at it. I'm thinking him and the tailor must be on bad terms or something. The tailor must hate him. They must have a problem or something, right? Because I don't know why the tailor did him so dirty. They have the same kind of discussion. Did you call us here immortal? Blah, blah, blah. In the show, when Omni-Man shows up, the Guardians of the Globe put up a hell of a fight. And they put some damage on him, right? In the comics, though, Omni-Man is a beast. You don't even see him, he's so fast. People's heads are fucking flying off. Guts are coming out. He fucking destroys everyone. Except Immortal. Immortal is like, who is it? Who's there? And when he sees who it is, he's like, I never liked you. And Omni-Man, boom! Chops his fucking head right off. And then they do the close-up, the big reveal. There he is, Omni-Man, soaked in blood. So my honest opinion about the comic showing this scene way later versus the show doing it in episode one, I think it was a very smart move on their part for the show to get that audience in, right? I believe a lot more people watch TV than they do read comics. They needed to really, you know, strategize and get as big of an audience as they could. And the best way to rope them in is you got to do your fucking homework right on the first episode. We all hear about shows people recommend and they're like, oh, by episode 3 or 4, that's when shit gets good. And that's why a lot of people don't watch certain shows. Nobody wants to watch 3 shit episodes. So episode 1, having all the Guardians of the Globe get murked, that was a good idea on their part. And it was good that they put some damage down on Omni-Man in the show too. Otherwise, it would have been a fucking 2-second scene, right? Now, hopefully their power levels of their characters are similar in both, but they needed that hook, and I liked it. And I really appreciate the difference between the show and the comic, because it makes both awesome to actually watch for the first time. But listen, if you're still here, remember to like, comment, and be subscribed, and get into that giveaway that's going to be happening at the end of the series. And remember, I have a podcast out too. Link will be in the description. I'm on Spotify, I think Apple Music, what the hell else? I'm on a bunch of different platforms with the podcast. So check it out. Thank you guys, and I'll see you soon.